Oh yeah, Tommy Height. I guess you're being interviewed as the artist of this show, semi-neoclassical, at Alpuni Space in Kaka'ako, Mawari Street 729. But I'm also working at Manifest as a daytime bartender, barista, and I'm there in the nighttime running around as a bar back, helping out the bartenders that work during club night. Yeah. Yeah, I graduated my BFA at UH Manoa in specializing in theming. It was a great program, definitely. It really taught us a lot about how to become, not just had prerequisites of developing skills to produce the work that we need to and wanted to learn how to produce, but also different classes like Gay-chan's professional practices class, where she made us make a resume, made us make a website, and business cards as well. Those are all very strictly enforced. Those are all credits in order to pass the class. And we had to interview at least three professionals in the art world, local or at state. And yeah, it was a great program. Definitely. It was really surprising, not surprising, but I was really definitely humbled to go through that program. It's a program.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But why did you want to be a painter? How could you consider that viable?
Viable?
Yeah. A
career.
Why did you want to be a painter?
Well, I was definitely in 2D work, as they call it, since I was it was actually right when I was 11. I remember wanting to learn how to draw. Before that, I got multifaceted, but I was always into creating stuff. I was taking stuff apart, finding stuff in the street, whatnot. I thought I wanted to be an inventor, but realized I didn't really know what I was doing with electronics. I started seeing kids sketching in their books when I was just hanging out at the park. Everyone was skating, and I really wasn't good at skating at all, but I would just hang out with my friends. And people would be sketching maybe graffiti style artwork, and then when they brought a composition book, I started sketching. And ever since then, I just kind of was obsessed. The line between obsession and passion, but hopefully it turned into a passion.
Drawing things. What kinds of things do you like?
I was doing anything, really. Lettering, mostly, but characters, too, when I was younger. And then started to get into the aerosol craft, but realized that it's a tough path to take to actually make something out of it, career-wise. So I actually got the opportunity to go to UH. I went to Kaiser, and my counselors really helped me get some scholarships, and no full scholarship, but I did get a grant right out of high school, and I got into UH Manoa straight out of high school, which is something that my grades at the time would have not allowed me to get into. SAT scores were very bad. but yeah, I ended up getting into, it was a 6-month program. It was called COP, which is awesome. And then I got into that.
Was it a horrible shock when you did get in and have to start doing the work?
It actually felt really good. It made me feel smart. Kaiser was a great high school. All the teachers were really influential and supported me, definitely. I was in special ed since middle school or elementary school. It was called something different when I was in elementary school. So I was never really an academic and still wouldn't consider myself one, but definitely not in grade school. When I got into college and got that opportunity, I definitely felt, special, You get into a university when it's like a refreshing new start getting in there. And yeah, it was awesome. I loved the classes. Even if I wasn't doing so good in it, I would just talk to the teacher and they would see that I'm trying, and then I would end up kind of getting good marks off of that. And then it was kind of towards the end, I bounced around majors, but I knew I wanted to do something in art. And doing the prerequisites for an art major in general, you take intro to drawing, you can take intro to painting, what choose you. And I decided I've never really done too much oil painting. I want to learn how to oil paint. So once I took the intro to oil painting class with Connie Fong, It was like my first painting was terrible, and I still don't think that I've improved too much, but it's more of just like the process, I would say, is the same, but the end result and the I guess premeditation of like the end result of the final product becomes different. It was really when I decided to go into BFA, I was talking to one of the counselors, and Wendy Calvada, and she was telling me that to get into the BFA program, you had to have, you know, a specific theme, you know, you had to write an artist statement, you had to have a direction, basically. And it was really her that kind of told me, like, you know, the most original thing out there, or I don't know if this is her words, but what I got from that meeting was that the most original thing that I know, really, that I know the most is myself. So I try to keep all my artwork closest to home, closest to myself. It's not really so much about me, it's more about just what I directly encounter and see, just on this ground plane that I've grown up, born and raised here. I see why in a different way than I feel like the rest of the world sees it. I mean, not just me, but like anyone I've ever grown up with. We all know that it's not the same as it is advertised to the rest of the world, right? Which I found very interesting, and we all did. We all knew that. It wasn't so much, I mean, there was the whole beach scene, but honestly, growing up, I never really went to the beach. I was just kind of hanging out, like, getting in trouble. Not too much trouble, but like skating and, you know, just other stuff. And there's just a whole host of culture that's out there that's not emphasized, that I found, you know, why not put this out, why not express this, because this is cool, this is like, you know, this is what I'm immersed in, basically.
You mean, so you're describing a different Hawaii?
I mean, I would say this is the way, but the different way is what is kind of put out there, right? Beaches and rainbows and sunsets, which is, you know, Hawaii, definitely. But at least as far as like Honolulu or Oahu, I would say it's a lot. It's very unique, you know. It's got a lot of character, you know. Especially now that I'm working in downtown Chinatown, I've heard someone say, you know, this is probably one of the most diverse Chinatowns, maybe in the world, but probably in the country, definitely. And that was a well-traveled dude. We have like this punk scene, this bar scene, craft cocktail scene. We have bistros, we have restaurants we have Ethiopian. There's Burmese food now. There's Lebanese, Mexican. We have like everything. Just Hawaii is a cultural mixing pot. It's like a good analogy of, maybe Hawaii, but definitely Oahu in this city that I grew up in. Honolulu. But it's just a really cool place, and it's so small and so condensed. Like, that's like mainly the influence of my current work now. It's just what I'm, because I'm there like every day, every other day, working in Chinatown. There's just some interesting stuff that happens there, you know? And it's really like, it's really big, like, pillars of everything I kind of grew up with. That's, I feel, why I was drawn to work there and be there is because it's kind of close to home. You know, I see people from high school or people from like before high school end up there, and it's kind of like a common draw. You know, it's like a hub, it's an HQ. It's cool. There's fashion. I'm not a fashionable person, but I get the vibes from people, you know, walking around. I've walked around like Soho, and I would say like anywhere in Hawaii, like Chinatown is probably like the closest thing to the fashionable people, you know, walking around, art scene and whatnot. Yeah, it's just a really cool place, definitely.
How have you chosen your subject matter? Because we're used to certain kinds of paintings from Tommy Haidt. How have you chosen your subject matter?
Subject matter.
Your representation.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, older but not so old. I've only been really producing like these oil paintings in the past like 3 years now, I think, maybe four. I think my first solo was like 3 years ago. So recent but not so recent. I was doing street scenes, streetscapes, cityscapes, what people call still life, you know.
Well, I guess this show talks about art history you learned.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say all of it really does. And I don't know, like, what I would be painting if I were painting if I had not gone to the university and, like, studied all that, or kind of forced into, you know, 179 art or whatever, you know. How many art history classes have I, like, taken, fallen asleep in, or nearly failed, but not really?
Well, you and a whole lot of other people.
Yeah, but they're always fun. They're just, you know.
I love it. It's, you know, people can be better in your air-conditioned, dark room. You're looking at fantastic pictures. People are just talking about how great it is.
Yeah, definitely.
But not everybody decides then to take subject matter from there.
Right.
So what's the idea here, Tommy?
Yeah, just like I was saying, just keeping it close to home. Using this sort of formula that I'm seeing is defined as fine art or art that I've been taught, and taking in content from ground level that I've grown up in, just that I feel is the most unique stuff that I've ever seen, that I think is the most unique, really, because what is more unique than your direct surroundings, macro level?
Name some things that...
I was doing things like, I think the first like iconic sort of thing that I tried to make iconic, I guess you would say, was like dumpsters, like the green dumpsters. You did do this.
I remember that series.
Yeah, it was more supposed to be humorous, but I feel like the humor part didn't really come across too well, but people thought it was like, oh man, like it's amazing. It was more supposed to be funny because, you know, you're painting something with such seriousness, such detail, but it's a dumpster, right? And it says Honolulu on it. And that was the whole correlation, was that of between Honolulu and it's a dumpster. Because there's green dumpsters everywhere, but only here it says Honolulu. And I thought that was really funny. So I started to try to make it more humorous. I don't really remember what it was, but I decided to put like a rainbow going into your dumpster, and that sort of started this little like more humorous on the whimsical level, kind of what's going on. It's definitely more open-ended narrative. My work was always open-ended, but now it's becoming, I feel, more and more so. The more objects or symbols I would say you put into a painting, the more meaning it might portray. So I would say now I am putting more stuff into the paintings instead of just like a blank street, which kind of speaks down one path. Now there's a, you know, then it's a dumpster with a rainbow, so that's two. It's like, what are you trying to say? And then I have like a hydrogen, fire hydrant with a cone on it. It's like, oh, what is that? So I feel like with that sort of little small miniseries, I guess you can subcategorize that as a miniseries, it sort of broke it down into, okay, he's not that serious. He's, you know, it's not just one direction. It's just, you know, oh, what's going on? It captures the interest, but, you know, what are you trying to say? And
is that what people are asking you about this exhibit? What are you trying to say?
People always ask me, what are you trying to say? And I'm not trying to say really anything. It's just an expression of the culture, you know.
Is this supposed to be, you know, I mean, how deep is this supposed to go? Am I supposed to know that this is a Dutch baron who actually used to work in the fur trade and now has a palm leaf over his over his shoulder? How much am I supposed to know? How much history do I actually bring to these people you've plucked right from history?
You know, it's really interesting. You can get a lot of personality out of someone looking at some of the paintings, because some people just instantly get it, and they're like, I get it. You know, it's Hawaii, but you just got a different twist on it, which is essentially what it is, but it does go into depth. And then others kind of overthink and overanalyze and really try to get into the detail, which is really fun, you know, for people. And for me and for everyone, it's cool to think that
So how did you choose? How did you choose okay, this is a bunch of portraits here that you've altered. Right. How did you choose the portrait subjects?
How did I choose them? It all stemmed from like the first one that I did. This one portrait. It was this one. It was Nicholas Boyson, Boylston, painted by John Singer Sargent in Boston, 1700s. And I just painted that just on a whim. I was flipping through an American history, art history textbook, and I said, I wanted to paint that because I wanted to learn how to paint.
Was it this guy right here, the first one, or the second one?
No, it's the guy with the cone on his head.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Painted that, turned out all right, and then I kind of just decided to. That was already a big sort of leap from what I was doing. The correlation between what I was doing and the portrait is the cone. That's sort of the bridge. So I decided, you know, I don't like to make too big of leaps. I want to keep it kind of close to what I'm doing, but this is a big enough leap. So I kind of analyzed the portrait. All right, if I'm going to do more portraits, let's find more that reflect this one. So I was looking at, I just typed in Google, like, classic portraits, and you end up getting a whole spectrum of things, you know, whether it be neoclassical, painted after the 1800s, or all the way down to late Renaissance. They're painting more flat, they're using tempera, but right in the late Renaissance, they started using oil, I think. Not too sure on the specifics, but I know that during the Renaissance paintings, you know, right coming out of that, it started to become more realistic, and then a lot of people are familiar with the Baroque style of painting that was just linked to the style of architecture originated in Italy. But Baroque sort of found its way across Europe, came into France. It's called Rococo. It's like France's take on Baroque. I have some Rococo influenced paintings. And then into neoclassical, which they called paintings that were reflecting classical paintings after, I guess, the 1700s or into the 1800s. It was more, I was really just looking for an attention to detail in the original portraits. I was looking for a percentage of detail that I can kind of recreate without it getting too distorted, because I find that if I find the most realistic looking painting, by the time it's entered my brain, reinterpreted and out my hand into a painting, it's distorted and not so realistic. So I had to have like a percentage, you know, like to calibrate how the end result would look. Some of them did end up looking a little flat, but I really had to rework them. But essentially, it was just this, you know, portrait, torso up to the face, black background. That was the main formula of this body of work.
So it's visual. It's visual puns, really. You don't expect people to go much deeper than that, really.
I mean, painting takes a lot of time, and as I'm painting, as I'm taking my time painting, I think about a lot of things. There are hidden things in some of these paintings. Like, for instance, this cocktail waitress. She's got a tattoo on her arm. It's a snake and a half. And that's just a representation of temptation, which is temptation to go out and waste your money and drink and party and regret or whatever. So that there's just little things that, again, stem from the formula that I learned in art history classes. The professors elaborately unfolding these small, minute details that mean that, you know, all these different things in history, all these little symbols, oh, the apple, you know, the hand, the gaze, whatnot.
Don't you wish that we had a culture where everybody brought that to a painting with them?
Yeah, it's fun, you know, but it's also fun to play on that characteristic, to act like you are implying something when you're actually not, maybe. You know, it's like, oh, that's just a dead end, let's see what's over here. You know? If they're supposed to be fun, they're supposed to be you know, relatable, you know, to the demographic. I want people to be proud of being here and you know, just see a different expression of their own, basically. That's kind of like the premise of everything that I'm doing here in general.
Cool. Really neat. Thanks so much.
Yeah, of course.
We definitely have.